Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm the cousin that shows up on time, SEC Mike, and there's everybody's favorite cousin, Cousin Shane. How's it going, brother?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Well, I asked him in the comments, Shane, if we have to replace you, does any of them want the job? The most popular answer is give it to JR.
Yeah, he's always here.
Miss Terry's Bathwater says no, but I'll join Shane's pod. So you've already, they don't care that you're late. They just care that you're here.
Yeah, it was my fault. I got caught, man. The time changes. Usually it gets a little dark, you know, right here.
That was like a month ago.
Yeah, well, I'm taking a while to adjust. You know what I'm saying? I'm watching Netflix. I'm watching that new Twister documentary. Mm-hmm. And about the Joplin tornado, and man, it's intense. And then I look up and I'm like, holy shit, I got 5 minutes. So
wait, you're late because you're watching Netflix? You're making people wait for Netflix?
Hey, we've all been there, Mike. I mean, I'm human. I know people think, hey, this guy's a superhero. No, I'm a human just like everybody else. And I got caught watching TV, and next thing you know, I was late. So I apologize. This one is on me.
Well, you know who's not late?
I was going to blame the internet. I was going to blame all this stuff. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to fess. It was my fault.
Okay. Well, I do believe you there. But I was going to say, who's that late, Shane? His cousin JR just gifted 5 memberships.
Oh, shit. Come on, one cuz.
For every minute Shane was late. Miss Terry's Bathwater, Dawson, Chris Camp, Ardor Wolf, and Ben. You have all been gifted a membership thanks to the legend JR. Welcome
to the family.
Yeah, we appreciate you, brother. Trey says, are you sure you weren't dropping them kids off at the pool?
I've been there too, but no, this was just TV, man.
Yeah, okay. Dakota says that Twister doc is brilliant, so maybe you're excused. Maybe it was so damn good. I haven't seen the thing, so I think you've got a legitimate excuse now.
It's crazy. I mean, it is trending on the Netflix, and you feel like it was just yesterday, but it's 15 years ago. And what they've done is they pieced it together with a whole bunch of different stories of people that were actually there. You know, I mean, we talked ever since Oklahoma joined this thing. You know, we talked about the tornadoes. We had Skull on here the not too long ago. We were talking about it, and man, it was intense. I'll be honest with you, Mike. I don't think I want to go chase them as much now. You know what I'm saying? After I seen this thing, I was like, you know what? This ain't like the movie.
Well, I saw Josh Pate. He was down there in Oklahoma interviewing Venables. That had to be part of it. He had to be storm chasing there as well.
See, you know, Josh Pate, he can run from a tornado. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's athletic enough to get the hell out of there or maybe crawl into something. That would be me. You know, I like... Okay, here comes a tornado. Everybody's running. They're like, hey, we can't outrun this thing. You know, get into something. And here I am like, well, shit, you know, I can't fit in the booth at Texas Roadhouse. How am I going to get in there? You know?
Well, maybe you've mastered it. It can't take you away.
Yeah, maybe I'm my own anchor. So, you know, maybe I'm onto something there.
Hey, well, we got a loaded mailbag show, buddy. I think you're really going to like this one.
All right.
You were not going to miss the Twisters for a second here. Thanks to some outstanding cousins sent us in some great questions. But as always, Shane, got to remind them because, hey, we got Sweet 16 matchups tomorrow and Friday. So absolutely loaded schedule, SEC basketball. Don't forget, if you want to make it even a little bit more exciting, maybe your team's not in it. Or maybe your team is, and you want to make it a little extra interesting, Shane, head on over to mybookie.ag. That's the website. Put in that promo code, that SEC, THATSEC over at mybookie. And what are they willing to do, Shane? They're going to match your initial deposit up to 50% with that promo code, that SEC. You can see it right on the screen somewhere's down here. But again, we're brought to you by MyBookie. And are you feeling, is there any games here, Shane? I'll run down them real quick here. Let's just do the Thursday game. Yeah. Bama, BYU, Florida, Maryland, Arkansas, Texas Tech. Is there one of those that you're feeling particularly confident about that the SEC is going to advance at least probably they're probably all going to win. Let's not kid ourselves. Shame. But if there's one SEC that you're most confident advances Thursday, who's that going to be?
Oh man, Thursday. I would probably go with the. It's late. It's very late, but something about that Arkansas team right now, man. I just don't think they can be stopped. Not by the Raiders. You know what I'm saying? I feel like they're going to get at least to another round here, and they're playing with house money, and that sometimes that's the most dangerous team. Is they're not a sweet. This is the thing. A lot of people would call Arkansas like a Cinderella team. I don't think that's the case, brother. I just think they were mislabeled coming into this thing. So, I feel pretty confident about that late game with them Razorbacks.
Okay, same question then for Friday. We got Auburn, Michigan, Tennessee, Kentucky, Ole Miss, Michigan State. Try to take off your orange glasses if possible. Which one are you most confident about advances?
Auburn. I feel like their last game was they have a tendency to do this, Mike. They have a bad game and then they bounce back. Yeah. And I feel like I don't care how many 7-footers they roll in that set. You know what I'm saying? I feel like this is going to be an absolute bloodbath and probably knocked out with 8 minutes left to go in the game.
Ooh. Hey, shout out our boy Liquid Shane. How about this? Speaking of tornadoes, he says, I was on a boat on a lake when a tornado hit. My word.
Geez. Yeah, I don't know what to do in that situation, but I have watched videos. I get on these YouTube kicks, and there was a guy like doing this, and I'm like, dude, you're in a boat. Go. You know, why are you near this thing? There are plenty of places to go. And I always think about the we got sisters in Twisters, you know, when it hits the water and the cows flying through. I can only imagine how scary that would have been.
Because Chicken says, Shane, if in a tornado, he'd be running into the Cracker Barrel.
Yeah.
I believe they're all grounded, so you'll be solid there. You know what?
Oh, yeah. I think that would be a safe place, you know, those big, deep freezes back there, and maybe grab a handful of biscuits on your way back just in case you're trapped.
Well, hey, that's not the, believe it or not, that's not the only Cracker Barrel reference we're going to get here. So are you ready, Shane, to get into the mailbag?
Yes, let's do it.
All right. As always, you're official member of the channel. You ask a question on the YouTubes. We're going to answer it guaranteed every mailbag. And we got a first timer here, Shane. Cousin Carter B. Huff. Mm-hmm. Hey, cousins. It's been a longtime fan and member of the show, but never asked a mailbag question. I was wondering when we would get an official announcement on the 9-game conference schedule if it were to come about. And Carter, have I got an answer for you? So, this is going to be determined at the upcoming SEC spring meetings, which is at the tail end of May, starts Memorial Day weekend right after that. So about Friday, May 30th, we should have an answer. And what goes on at that event, if you're unaware, all the coaches go, the ADs go, and they all gather around in private meetings that no one's allowed to get into, and they kind of discuss it. And then at the end, the presidents of the universities vote on these things. So that'll happen, spring meetings, and they'll announce the results of probably May 30th, I would think, on the Friday to close it out.
Yeah, right around the corner. Mike will be in a good spot. He'll be down there sunbathing right next to him and Feinbaum.
I'm going to try to do some spyware or something, see if I can listen in, maybe put like a mic in one of the air vents, you know, like Die Hard, where I'm up there, you know, crawling through there. So yeah, I'll be down there. I'll be trying to get all the latest. And I've been trying to scheme up ways, Shane, that we can do just this right here, like we're doing, you at your house, me on the beach. I'm going to figure out a way to do it. We're going to do it live from the beach.
And one of those, you could bring one of those fake plants. You ever seen those? Like they sit there on the sidewalk. You can just dress as like a shrub and sit there in the conference room and take it all in.
Yeah. I've been called a shrub before. All right. How about this? Yeah. Mike says Mission Impossible Mike over here. How about this? Great question. We got several from cousin Emily Powell. She's a member. So when I answer all her questions here, Shane.
All right.
Biggest deficit/weakness, whatever you want to call it, for each SEC team this season.
Oh man.
So I got it listed out. You tell me if I'm way off here. All right.
Okay. You got it.
Alabama, as much as it may pain me to say at times, I think they can win the national championship this year. I think they could be that good. But right now, the weakness is the quarterback. And maybe that's the wrong, you know, weakness is maybe not the right word, but just the unknown.
Yeah.
For me is Alabama. I mean, they could be a complete bust if they don't have a quarterback, but if you insert the right quarterback, I'm confident about the weapons. I like what they've got coming back on defense, bringing back offensive coordinator Ryan Grubb. I think that'll really help things, but I mean, that's a big unknown, but I'm going quarterback for Alabama.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you, Mike. And it's not that they got a bad room. It's just there's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of, like, I hear more ceiling talk from Bama fans than anything, you know, but nobody wants to address what the floor could be with this room. So, yeah, I'm right there with you.
Hey, shout out to Monkey. He says we ought to do a remote broadcast from Morristown Honda.
Yeah, don't even tell him to show up. Don't think I'm Don Dare out there.
How about Arkansas? I said, remember we highlighted this on the last episode. Go check it out if you missed it. Receivers, bringing back only 11%. And it doesn't really, at the end of the day, Shane, I don't think it matters how good Talen Green is. He doesn't have anyone to throw the ball to. So to me, Arkansas's biggest unknown is the receivers.
Yeah, I mean, we just talked about this yesterday, and, you know, we tried to spin it as a positive, but the fact of the matter is they may be bad, and they're a lot smaller. That's one thing Coach was talking about. They're not going to have the size. Maybe he doesn't have some of those safety valves like he used to, and, yeah, I think the receivers may hold him back. It you know, positive spin, it may be a step forward, but I'm right there with you. A little uncertainty in that room.
Mm-hmm. All right. How about Auburn?
Coaching.
Head coach, no. Come on down. Hugh Freeze. Biggest weakness. I mean, I don't even think it's debatable at this point in time.
Biggest weakness. Yeah, maybe. Not so much quarterback, but quarterback development. So if I'm going to pinpoint something, you know, we've had a couple of years, couple of guys coming through. I mean, Peyton Thorne, I mean, we thought maybe he'd be coached up to be a really good quarterback.
And we did.
Well, I mean, the fact he didn't, when you don't go shopping for one in the offseason, you're just, you know, you're kind of alluding that, hey, we've got our guy type situation. And I don't know, man, I've just not seen the development I thought we would get with Hugh Freeze. So yeah, I could go with coaching there.
Cousin Trace says hookers. Cousin Steven says
cell cameras.
How about Florida? I'm saying the same damn thing. Head coach, still not buying Billy Napier yet as some kind of elite coach. Again, I mean, they did a masterful job. They kind of are who I thought they were going to be.
Yeah.
I was totally out on them after the first 3 weeks, after hyping them up for months and months. But still, Billy Napier is the biggest question mark to me.
Well, I mean, I can't argue with that. Look, 8 wins, best. I mean, and we honestly thought some of those were miracle wins. You know, I know Florida fans didn't like, you know, but I never thought they would beat LSU. I never thought that would happen. And, yeah, you know, some of those games they got there at the tail end of the season, I wonder, was that a little bit Lady Luck or, you know, but then again, Mike, you've been kind of coaching me up on this Florida hype train, so maybe we just haven't given him enough time, you know? So
give another 4 or 5 years to prove it, right?
Absolutely. Let it marinate a little longer down there in Gainesville.
All right, how about Georgia? This is very unusual to say, Shane.
Coaching. No, I'm joking.
I'm saying defensive line. Remember, they only return 24% of the snaps on the defensive line from last season. That's 15th in the SEC. Again, they got some beasts down there. They've got some five stars, four stars. I mean, they don't have a lineman on there that's not a five or four star. You know what I mean? But a lot of these guys are unproven. They're going to be sending a lot of the guys to the NFL. That's, quite frankly, that's what they do down there. So I'm not saying it's, you know, a disaster over there, but similar to what we said about Arkansas, similar to what we said about Alabama, they're unproven until otherwise.
Yeah, I would say their weakness is probably speed and limits.
Right, yeah, they're now saying drag racing, state troopers. Oh,
yeah, a lot of self-inflicted wounds here. And maybe leadership. That, you know, one of the things Kirby came out here and talked about was somebody kind of taking the reins, making this team special. And you got to do that from within. And then you have kids out here, you know, getting in trouble again. So some of that has to be accountability. So I'll go maybe leadership here.
Mm. How about Kentucky? Now this is cheating a little bit because it's two, but and I really like Zach Calzada.
Yeah,
beat Nick Saban. That was, man, what a game that was. That was 20 years ago at A&M. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm saying offensive coordinator Bush Hamden and quarterback combo Zach Calzada. I think it might be. I mean, they might literally be the. I don't want to say worst because that just sounds horrible, but the 16th ranked offensive coordinator, the 16th ranked starting quarterback in this conference may be on the same program here.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say the whole offense period.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't have those butterflies when we talk Kentucky. Like, I mean, I did last year. I talked about this receiver room, you know, I tried to get behind Brock and I was like, hey, you know, this could happen, but there is none of that going on right now. I do think that Kentucky will always have a very good, if not serviceable, defense. So I'm not worried about that side of the football as much, even though they did replace a lot. But that offense, I haven't seen any growth or development in the last three seasons. So I'm naturally going to be worried about it in 2025.
Mm-hmm. All right, LSU. Now they did attack this position via the transfer portal, Shane.
Yes.
But I'm going offensive line still. Mm. Both tackles to the NFL. One's probably going to be a top 10 pick, Will Campbell. I don't know. I'm slightly concerned because I know they got the quarterback. They've added all these weapons. Defense took some strides last. I mean, by the midway point, I was like, my God, Blake Baker's a genius. And then they kind of fell completely apart. But I think in year two, I think the defense may not be elite, but I think they'll be pretty good. So the biggest question mark I got for LSU right now is the offensive line.
Yeah, I get that. How about identity? Something I think Coach Kelly's teams have lacked the last couple of seasons. And, you know, we talked. How many times have we talked about how great this team should be running the football last year, and they never were? Mm-hmm. And then we talked about, hey, how great this defense can be because of the coaching staff they brought in and the players they got through the transfer portal, and it never was. So I think for me, it's just coming out here and proving who you are and sticking to it. You know, I love some of the ads they made in the portal. This could be a dangerous football team, but I don't have the confidence because I've not seen it the last 2 years.
Yeah, Cousin Ben says season openers is a weakness. BK Southern accent is a weakness.
Oh, shit. Oh, I love it. They're fired up tonight, huh? They've been drinking cold beer already.
Yeah. How about Ole Miss, Shane? I'm going defensive back. I mean, this is ridiculous, Shane. Defensive backs, dead last. I mean, they're dead last in all the returning production. But Arkansas is 15th, and they've returned 34% of the defensive back snaps from last year.
Yeah.
Ole Miss returns 6% of your snaps. Again, they hit the portal hard. I'm not saying they're going to be awful or anything, but that is just brutal. And the secondary, Amos was good last year, but it's not like this was like this ain't Alabama of old or Georgia defensive backs. You know what I mean? This was an average unit. And maybe that's too harsh, but a good unit, but bringing back literally nobody.
Yeah. And social media, you know, we got to keep them off of there. So I do worry about, you know, to an extent, the opposite of Brian Kelly is Lane Kiffin could come in with a brand new football team. And I can almost guarantee you that we're going to be pretty good. And yeah. I feel confident with the roster they have. It's just because you have all the ingredients doesn't mean you know how to make the recipe. So I feel like Lane Kiffin is a pretty good chef. But there are more pieces, it feels like, kind of hanging out this year. We don't have the star-studded cast that we had going into 2024. So who's going to step up? That could be on either side of the football, but I do think Lane finds it pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. How about Mississippi State? I said defensive coordinator, Coleman Hustler. No clue why he's back as our defensive coordinator. Yeah. We were so bad on defense last year. And, man, I've said it once, I'll say it many times, and there are outliers like Kirby Smart, but never, 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 Shay, would I hire an SEC head coach mm-hmm. that has no head coaching experience. It's just learning on the job, and then they compounded it by hiring a defense coordinator. That's never been a defense coordinator. I mean, they should have surrounded Lebby with some veterans. I mean, Mississippi State, it's already a very, very difficult job. I think they've made it too hard on themselves.
You ever seen that game at the fair? You got like darts and you throw it balloons. There's like 100 balloons. Mm-hmm. Mississippi State's got 100 problems. And, you know, it's like, it doesn't matter really, which you can hone in on one or two, but they have similar to an Ole Miss, a lot of new faces, new places. And how does that all go together? I do think that you're going to see a little bit improvement with Coach Lebby, second year in the system, you know, just not the newness has kind of worn off a little bit. So I feel like State's going to have some games that you're going to see some improvement. But, man, what a turnover. It seems like there's so much turnover there right now. So, yeah, for me, it's just confidence in the coaching staff.
Or maybe a better example. But did you ever – I know you've seen Vegas Vacation, right? Chevy Chase, where they go to the I guess it's the Hoover Dam, and he's putting out holes, and yeah. then like another one comes up, and like, he's putting bubble gum on it, and it's the bubble gum floating up.
I love that movie. That's a good one.
How about Missouri? I think this one's a little obvious, but I'm going quarterback again. I know they're fired up about Bo, but I mean, Bo could be this year's. I hope he's not, but he could be this year's Brock Vandegrift for all we know. I mean, he could have that little of an impact.
Yeah.
Or he could be awesome.
Yeah, he could be that similar to an Alabama. It's like, we know we could sit here and tell you how good it can be and how bad it can be. And it just depends if you're a fan or not. You talk to a fan, they're always going to lean toward that side. You talk to somebody that absolutely hates Mizzou, they're going to lean the opposite way. But fact of the matter is, we really have no idea. We have no idea how this is going to look. Apparently we have a quarterback competition, which I'm not saying I hate, but I do a little bit. I honestly love to see some guy just kind of take the job, take the reins, if you will. So maybe they have, but you know, Drink did say this is the best roster he's ever had. So maybe it's the best quarterback room he's ever had. He just can't pick his favorite.
Well, they may announce it right after the portal closes. You know what I mean? Like, that's just the way you got to do it these days.
Absolutely.
How about Oklahoma, Shane? I'm still saying offensive line, because I think we nailed it at quarterback. I believe we'll see about the offensive coordinator, but they love him out there too. But none of that's going to matter if the offensive line, which brings a ton of guys back. I got the graphic for that as well. But you know, if they don't, they got to be healthy, and they got to be a lot better. 71% of the offensive line snaps are back for Oklahoma. That's fourth highest in the conference. But it was a complete train wreck. So, again, having all these guys back, not necessarily a fantastic thing, but I'd rather have them than not.
Yeah, but, you know, Jim in Arlington, you know who you are. You keep tagging me in every John Mateer throw out here. So he's got me convinced. You know, it doesn't matter what's in front of him. John's going to find somebody open. So I do worry about it. And not to mention it's that wide receiver room. You know, we had a lot leave. I mean, Deion's great. I'm glad he's there, but you know, there's going to be not only a new quarterback, but there's going to be new guys to throw it to. And you can't do any of it if you don't have time to throw. So yeah, offensive line's got to improve, but not to the point where we've got to keep tight ends in to block. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like that takes away from what this offense could be.
Mm-hmm. All right, how about South Carolina, Shane? I'm going defensive line. Mm-hmm. I know they got Stewart. I mean, he's phenomenal. He may be the best defensive player in the country. But they lost basically everybody else off the starting unit, including some outstanding underrated interior defensive lineman. I think it's very, very, very difficult for South Carolina to just snap their fingers and replace all those studs they had on the defensive line that I think nationally were being slept on.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what we'll look at. And just that's kind of the downside when you have somebody so, when you have a side of the football that really exceeds, and let's say next year they have a great year, but not a special season like they did in 24. Naturally, you point fingers and say, well, they're not as good as they, you know, even though they're still good. I feel like South Carolina defensive front will still be fine. But I definitely see where you're coming from there.
All right. How about Tennessee, Shane?
None. Zero.
I'm saying offensive line, replacing guys on the offensive line. They're another one that hit the portal. Likely going to be relying on a true freshman at offensive tackle.
Yeah.
And the last tackle they got, safe to say, failed to live up the expectations. Now he's like the veteran of the group.
Yeah.
Offensive line's a big question mark, I think.
Yeah, and rightfully so, Mike. I think you're right. And the only thing I would argue is maybe the receiver room a little bit here. I know we've got some dudes coming back. We got Boo flipping over, you know, going to be playing both ways. But, you know, at the end of the day, we had a wide receiver room that couldn't stay healthy last year. Maybe that's it. Strength and conditioning. Can we keep this team healthy? So, but I'm right there with you. It's going to be on the offensive side of the football.
And then Texas, it's a hard one to come up with, but I'm going offensive line as well. I don't even know if it's going to be a weakness because, man, they lost a ton.
Yeah.
But they have developed outstandingly under Sarkisian. So, you know, based on anybody you talk to, they're not worried about the offensive line, but it's just it's a lot of new faces, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And it looks good on paper. You know, and it always does until they get on the football field and they either exceed or they flop. So it's kind of like some of these other teams we talked about with question marks floating around. We know that it could be a good unit, but until we see it together, we're going to assume that it is a weakness.
Cousin Trey says, weakness, arch too good? how about A&M, Shane? I'm saying receiver. They lost four of the top five receivers from last year. And the one they got back is, I think he was either fourth or fifth in receiving yards. So completely reworked receiving core, basically everybody back on offense aside from the receivers, but that's a huge question mark.
It is. It is. And Reed needs those guys, you know, for him to take that next step for this offense, which I felt like puttered at times to not be so one dimensional. They got to get that passing game going. And you're right, brother. Again, it feels like I keep saying the same thing, Mike, but when you have the portal and all this, you know, it's a revolving door in some of these offices, and the wide receiver room definitely got depleted this offseason.
Mm-hmm. And then we've talked a lot about Vanderbilt and them bringing everybody back.
Yeah.
But the one position group that they don't, it's offensive line. Mm-hmm. So could be a real issue, but I hope for their sake that it's not, because they essentially are running the triple option out of the shotgun.
Yeah.
And you don't necessarily need elite. I mean, hell, when does the triple option ever have really good offensive linemen? You know what I mean? Wow. So it's a lot of misdirection and Diego Pavia, you know, who's got the damn football? You don't even know. You only got a block for a split second. So if I'm a Vanderbilt fan, I'm that's what I'm telling myself. We don't need a dominant offensive line to compete in this conference.
Triple. What's your, like, if you're doing an appetizer and you had to pick three, mm-hmm. What is your sampler? Like, what would you prefer?
Got to have cheese sticks.
Yeah.
That's a given, right?
Been on a spinach dip kick. I like to have that involved. You may not be really, there.
This man for 40 years won't eat anything green. He discovered spinach dip. He won't stop eating it. But that's not even vegetables to be really with you. No, I would not have that in my top 50. I don't think. Maybe potato skins.
Oh yeah, that's good.
Potato skins got to be up there. And then I don't know if this technically counts because this is more like fancier. I don't know if you'd get it on a sampler platter type deal.
Yeah.
I think ever since I've had sweet potato fries.
Oh yeah.
I don't think they can be topped. I can't eat another fry.
Yeah. That's not going to be on mine. I don't even know if that exists this side of the Mississippi. So I would say probably you're close. I love the cheese sticks idea. I love onion petals. You know, that's another good one. Fried pickles are not bad either if they're really crispy. And they're like made there. You don't want to get one of those that you could tell it's in a, been in a freezer the entire time.
Another green thing. You quit eating green stuff. Ben says,
doused with ranch and bread. And so
Ben says we lost Shane about talking food.
He drifted. He's thinking of chilies again.
All right. This is still Emily. She's still fired away with questions, but you'll love this one. What is the higher number, Shane?
Yeah.
Your lifetime visits to Cracker Barrel for you specifically, or the lifetime visits of all 16 SEC head coaches to Cracker Barrel, what do you think is the higher number?
I mean,
Some of these guys, I feel like, probably have never stepped foot. Brian Kelly.
I'm trying to think, like, who would be the danger ones? So the Pittman. One that scares me is Sam Pittman because, mm-hmm. you know, he's been in the South quite a bit.
This guy, DeBoer, he's never set foot in one.
Lord, no. He's kale salad, you know.
Now, Hugh Freeze, I think he's in there all the time. He's pretending he likes it.
He ain't eating. He's getting something else in there. He's
you know Levy's been in there quite a bit.
In there. Oh yeah, that's a dangerous one right there.
How about do you think Drake goes in there?
No. I think he does drink Diet Coke, Diet Mountain Dew. So yeah. I mean that does kind of push you a little. I would say he's frequent a few, maybe on like a road trip looking for, you know, talking to some athletes or something.
We'll ask him at media days. Yeah. I don't think Venables, he does not seem like a Cracker Barrel. No. I think Lane Kiffin would be disgusted if we asked him to go.
He'd be so, like, and coming out, he would just look down on us. His daughter making TikTok about us, you know.
I think Beamer definitely with the family. Yeah, nah. you know, he's been there.
He's a Sunday. Oh, man, he could be dangerous. Yeah. Yeah.
And then we forgot about this Biggin.
Biggin, what? Bam. He's actually losing weight, which kind of would put me, I think, I don't know what. Yeah, he'd be up there.
Sark, I don't think Sark knows Cracker Barrel. I definitely think Elko does.
Elko does. He may have his own spot in Cracker Barrel. Parking spot.
What do you think? What's the higher number now that we've kind of run through them all?
Oh, me for sure. I went twice last week, you know. I felt bad. You know, usually I'll post it on Twitter when I'm at the Cracker Barrel, and I was like, when you go back-to-back days, you're just like, maybe I'll leave this one off, you know.
All right, then final one from Emily.
My kid just got a job at Cracker Barrel. True story. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my youngest is now working and starting Tuesday at Cracker Barrel, so... you think that number's high now? Wait, my kid's working there.
Bonus question here. Yes. One rule or policy change that the SEC should make that they're not making.
One policy change that they should make. Is this like anything?
Whatever your heart desires, my friend.
Mike, we've talked about this a million times, but it's targeting. It's the stupidest penalty ever.
Well, that's not really an SEC thing, though.
Well, I mean, that's, you know what? You said anything, and then now you're saying I can't say anything. Let's go with this for a second.
Saying, what rule does the SEC, I mean, what if the SEC said no more targeting, then the Big Ten still does target? That's kind of silly.
What rule does the SEC have that the Big Ten doesn't? Let's hear your answer then.
I think everyone will agree with this. Who do we get mad at, aside from our head coaches, the most on Saturdays?
Parent cams?
The damn refs.
Oh, yeah.
We still don't have full-time referees. They need to be full-time. They need to be compensated. And they need to be made available in those press conferences after big games. I don't understand why they're not. And I'm not saying they need to be like belittled and everything, but... They need to answer questions. Why was this called? Why was that not called? I think that would solve a lot of things if we had full-time refs all across the SEC, which we still don't.
Well, that's a good one. I mean, and then maybe they won't throw so many targeting penalties, you know. I will tell you, I made a joke just then. I think the parent cam is absolute dumbest thing ever, and I wish they'd stop doing that. This is about the kids, not the parents. I would also say, even though they did away with a little bit of the crazy characters on the sideline, I'd like to wipe all that out, obviously. You know, the guys wearing all, you know, green, yellow, and blue shirts, and they got different signs and stuff like that. Kind of like to see that go away. It did a little bit with the headsets, but you still see it all on the sideline. And I don't know, man, maybe a little less commercials. I know Disney's got to get theirs, but you know, sometimes it feels like, especially after a touchdown, it feels like you go to two sets of commercials. Mm-hmm. You know, you can watch soccer and they got the thing going on the field so that there's less breaks. Maybe we can do something along those lines.
Seems like everything you've suggested is just inconvenience you personally, though. Commercials, well, parent cam.
You asked me what I would do.
Well, I know what else you'd do, and that's go to bruntworkwear.com/SEC, Shade. Get $10 off your full order over at bruntworkwear.com. I got the Brunt hat on right here. If you can see it, I know it's black.
But I noticed it.
I love the hat. They sent over some boots. They have hats. They got boots. They got all this good stuff for you, Shane. But most what they really specialize in is these comfortable working boots, Shane, that could be customizable, waterproof, safety toe, soft toe, pull up, lace up, however you want them, over at bruntworkwear.com. And don't forget that promo code SEC to get you $10 off. Can't beat it.
You look like you just got back from that little cabin in the woods, you know? You start visiting, we may have surveillance on you before you know it.
How about this one, Shane, from Cousin Sven?
Yeah.
Outstanding question. As always, if you're an official member of the channel, we're going to guarantee you to get your question in. What's the best way to fix the transfer madness? He suggests players should have to pay 50% of their salary, a.k.a. NIL, as a buyout. Interesting, Shane. Do we need to fix it?
Yeah.
First of all.
Yes, it needs to be fixed. It needs to be fixed. And again, we've talked about this several times, and you've convinced me we got to have one of those transfers, and then that's it. There's no spring transfer. Because mm-hmm. that's why we're not having the spring games. That's why these coaches are afraid to commit to anybody on the depth chart. They're just scared because the kids are going to jump the portal. So I just feel like we have the one at the end of the year and boom, it's done.
Okay. That was on my list. One portal window.
Yep.
I would also like to see you get one transfer. That's it.
Yeah.
Unless two exceptions, your head coach leaves or gets fired or however you want to say that. I think that's fair. I think you should be able to leave after that. And then most importantly, if you graduate and you get your degree,
yes,
I think you should be able to transfer. But without that, I think we should only do the one portal window, and we should not be doing multiple transfers.
And if you do a multiple transfer, you sit out a year. Boom, period.
Mm-hmm.
Not this loophole, I could go to the Big Ten and start immediately. No, no, that's not how this works, Judkins.
Yeah. Well, I mean, SEC raids all them too. You know what?
Yeah, I know. But I feel like that would clean up a little bit of the headache that these coaches are going through, that these teams are going through. I mean, we have general managers out here trying to get his rosters right, but you can't. It's so fluid because of the two portals, especially.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, how about Cousin Kyle? This is a great question. Great question. If you were guaranteed, Shane, it's guaranteed that your team is going to win the national championship in the next 10 years, mm-hmm. but in exchange for that, you can only consume, you know, college football through the radio for 10 years, would you do it? And he's not saying just your team. He's saying all the teams. So Would you trade a national championship for giving up the sight of college football?
Oh, that's a really good. Damn, he just I could just see him sitting on his balcony, just saying, "Where can I stump this fat bastard?" Well, you just did it, because the way I look at it, you know, I mean, 10 years is a long time, Mike, especially when you're over your 40s, especially right. when you're big as I am. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think I'd do it.
I don't know if I could. I don't think I could, Mike.
Did it really happen if you didn't see it?
No. I love taunting the 98 championship game. It was fantastic as a Vol fan. But if I didn't, then I would have missed so much great football the next 10 years after that. So I don't think I would, man. I would forego a national championship. He didn't say that I couldn't win a national championship in that 10-year span.
Right.
But I do love watch. It's one of the my most favorite things to do is watch college football and drink beer. So, no, I can't do it. Sorry.
But in fairness to Cousin Kyle, Shane, he's an Aggie.
I know.
I think that's a fair trade for the Aggies to get, because they've been waiting a long time.
Yeah, I think Kyle would do it. He would probably he'd go out there fishing. You know, I think he's a big fisherman. He'd put his little headset on and he'd listen to the games. But by God, he'd be at that natty, wouldn't he?
All right, how about this one, Shady? This is something that you wanted to talk about. So this is great. Cousin Jordan, OU J-Dog on Twitter. How would you feel about a spring bedlam Oklahoma State?
I loved Shady. It. You gonna tell him?
Well, Shane said, "Hey, I got a great idea. Let's do a spring matchup like this for every SEC team." And I said, "That sounds like a hell of an idea. I'm pretty sure we did that already, and it was right after Mike Gundy suggested this 2 years ago."
Mm-hmm. I thought, you know, either this sounded like a really good idea or it's like deja vu. So apparently, it did happen, and I think he's right, man. You know, I know we're getting away from the spring games, but I think if you drop that portal window, we're right back in the mix. And being able to go against a team, especially in your own state, I think that would be very, very beneficial for both football teams, because you could actually learn something. Because how many times did you watch a spring game and you're like, God, our offense sucks, but maybe our defense is really that good? you're kind of torn on, are we good? Are we bad? These guys are already practicing against each other every single day. So it'd be kind of nice to have some new blood, not to mention in this situation, Oklahoma going against Oklahoma State. This is a game that Gundy will never sign up while he's there, because he doesn't want that L, but by God, he'll take it in the spring, you know? So if that's what it takes to get those two together, you talk about selling out, I think they would.
Yep. All right, Shane, how about this one from Paul Varner? Great question. Would you rather see the SEC dominate in basketball over the next 5 to 10 years, or return to running college football?
Football. Give me football. Absolutely. Yeah. I love basketball. Don't get me wrong. The Sweet 16 is going to be awesome. I can't wait to see which SEC is crowned the national champ. But at the end of the day, it's buying time for my favorite sport, and that's college football.
Yep. Well, on a similar theme, Kentucky Kenny's got a great question here. What would you equate a basketball championship to? He's talking national championship here.
Yeah.
In terms of football, like, would a basketball natty bring you the same joy as a college football playoff run, or making Damn. The final, or what a Citrus Bowl? You know what I mean? Like, how low is your bar for the basketball championship when it equates to what it would mean in a football?
I feel like Vanderbilt's asking these questions now. You know what I'm saying? This is a really, really good question. And I would equate it to back-to-back presence in an SEC championship game. Not necessarily a win, but making it to an SEC championship 2 years in a row.
Okay.
That's kind of...
That's equal to a Tennessee winning a national championship in basketball, you think?
Yeah, Tennessee wins. If they win a national championship, well, let me ask you this. I know it's his question, but if Tennessee or your team, whatever your team is, would you rather your team win the SEC championship in football, or would you rather them win the national championship in basketball? Because in my opinion, I want the SEC championship because we're going to brag the shit out of that. Don't get me wrong. We'll still do it with the basketball. And again, I'm not poo-pooing the sport at all. I'm just saying for me personally, I think as Steve Spurrier says it's best. It's harder to win an SEC championship than a national championship. I can use it. Now, it has lost a little luster here the last couple of years with the expansion of the college football playoffs, but I still think it's a very important football game.
Yeah, I think I'd take the football SEC championship over a basketball national championship.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, man, this one, hopefully we don't completely go off the rails here. Sydney File Matt, he says, would you rather have tongues for thumbs or thumbs for tongue? And he said, I just took a cornbread ham. That's the only reason I asked
that. Would you rather have what again?
Your tongues for thumbs or thumbs for a tongue.
Neither. I mean, I don't know how to answer that, but I'd probably say thumb for tongue, because then you can just keep your mouth shut and nobody see it. I mean, your tongue's out here, you know, touching everything. No, I ain't about that.
Okay. Well, speaking of tongues and thumbs here, OT Pedro, what's more likely to happen, Shane? Hugh Freeze wins a national championship or Kentucky makes a college football playoff? I think as much as it pains me to say, I think more realistic would be Hugh Freeze winning a national championship.
That's it. Again, you asked this question, 6 years ago, 5 years ago, we'd have a different answer probably, but no, right now at this current juncture, I like which one's more likely to happen in the next 4 or 5 years. Give me Hugh Freeze.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, but well, he does say Kentucky. Okay. He says, I was about to say, well, what if Mark Stoops left for like Iowa? I may change it there.
Really?
But that's not what he's asking. I think hell, Indiana just made the playoff, Shane. Somehow, some way in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
You could avoid all the good teams. I don't know how they did that, but they do it.
Yeah, good point.
All right. How about this? This was specific. We got a couple just for you, buddy. Gamecock, Dr. Phil. This is for Cousin Shane. Rate his Cracker Barrel order.
Okay.
Warm biscuits with butter and grape jelly.
Good start.
Chicken fried chicken topped with white gravy.
Sawmill.
Served with hash brown casserole and macaroni and cheese, all with a crispy Diet Coke.
Damn, he even does my soda. The mac and cheese is where he lost me a little bit. Not a fan of it, especially at Cracker Barrel. It's not their strongest side dish, if you will.
So maybe give it a 1 being low, 10 being all time high.
This guy nailed it. 7, but mainly with the bread and the jelly. That's a good. It's either for me, it's got to be the grape or Concord. I used to call it until I realized it was the same thing. And, the blackberry. The blackberry's fantastic there. So got to start off with those biscuits. The chicken, fried chicken, I'm just such a country fried steak fan, but I do like the sawmill gravy, so he won me back over. So give me 7.5.
Would it stun you if I told you I don't think I've ever had a country fried steak? What is it? Like, is that steak or is that chicken? I'm very confused
country
by that.
Country fried steak?
Well, yeah, is that what you just said you love? What exactly is it?
It's like a cube steak, if you will, deep fried.
I've never had that.
What? How have you not had that? So, yeah, well, my favorite is the Papaw special and fried special, because you can get that and the biscuits, and you could choose if you want jelly on your biscuits or if you want gravy, which I think is still the sawmill, which is kind of a weird take. There's gravy's not like a sausage gravy. It's more like a universal gravy, but it works. I don't know why, but it works, Mike. And next time you come in, let's go up and let's try this country fried steak.
This comment was too good not to share. Cousin Ben, he says, Cousin Shane should be Cracker Barrel Dr. Phil.
Yeah. What does this meal tell me about you?
And then Cousin Dylan Johnson, again, this is for Shane. What's his favorite bourbon he's received among those bourbon bets behind you?
Man, so many, so many. I would have to say, I don't know. It's like picking your favorite kid, you know? Secretly, we have it, but I can't tell you. I think it was honestly probably the first one I got from Ollie was near and dear to me. I mean, anything Ollie has sent me, but yeah, there's a lot of great guys up there in Kentucky, and I feel bad for them because I have sent you got to remember, not so long ago, I was sending Tennessee whiskey up that way across state line, and it's a sad because it's not like you just go to the bourbon store and buy it. You got to buy it, then you got to package it, then you got to lie about it. It's olive oil, and then you got to send it off, and then you're afraid you're going to get arrested by the feds, which now I probably will because I just put it on tape. But there's all that, so it's a process, and you got to remember you just lost to this football team. So any of the bourbon behind me you see, near and dear to my heart, and that's why it's so tough to drink, to be honest with you. That's why I really don't drink it that often. I get my own.
They're calling it Ollie oil.
There you go.
All right, final one, Shane. Cousin Trey always asks fantastic questions. Did this season prove that running backs have been undervalued in the SEC? And who are the three non-quarterbacks?
Wait, say that. Start again. I'm sorry. I was just.
Did the season prove that running backs have been undervalued? Mm-hmm. In the SEC. Remember that for a while, Shane? It was like, man, running backs are devalued, all because yeah. NFL stopped paying them. Now, the guy that won the damn Super Bowl was largely because they got a great Super, they got a really good running back. But so what's your thoughts on that? Do you really need a good running back, you think, in the SEC to win?
I think they've proved that you don't, too. You know, I feel like there have been some good running backs that have won national championships, but you know, I don't, none of them were a finalist to win the, what's that? Walker. Is it Walker? Mm-hmm. No, is that none of them won that, you know what I'm saying? So,
right, but I mean, who cares about that? You know what I mean? Tennessee winning and they had Sampson, right? And Ole Miss couldn't get it done. They didn't have a running back.
But how much is that as Sampson and how much is that the system? You know, Tennessee always has a running back that's getting 6 yards a carry. So what does that look like in the next? I'm not saying, and I'm not shitting on Sampson because he's a phenomenal football player, but I'm just saying that if I'm piecing a team together in SEC football, my first get, my dynasty team will not be a running back first. Now,
what about Derrick Henry?
20 years ago? Absolutely. We were running back heavy. You know what I'm saying? We've had some dudes come through here that were absolute game changers. But right now, it's a quarterback. It's offensive line. It's defense, you know, and then you circle back around to a good running back room. Now, again, there are a few names that we saw last year that are freak athletes and are going to do well on Sunday. But nah, I think the running back days have kind of gone by for a little bit, but yeah. College football does evolve. And, you know, I mean, look at these outfits these kids are wearing. I mean, some of them were wearing that in the '70s, you know what I'm saying? So just like outfits, eventually I feel like the running game will get more and more important. So
Cousin Trey says Marcus Tape, when Sampson's gone next year, we're going to remind it. And Liquid said he'd rather have an elite tight end than a running back. I think Liquid's on that cornbread.
No. Dude, I've been sold on tight end since what's that kid's name that went down to the Saints many, many years
Jimmy
ago?
Jimmy Graham.
Right then, I was hooked on a good tight end, and I wanted one ever since. But,
like, who was the best tight end in the SEC last year?
The best one?
Who cares? Because there's not one. You know what I mean?
Well, I like his dad cares, which played in the NFL. No. but the year before, I mean, you look at Brock Bowers, look how important he was. I feel like an elite tight end. I would rather have an elite tight end than an elite running back. Elite. You know what I'm saying? Not just, mm-hmm. just the, I'm talking about the best of the best. I'd rather have an elite tight end than an elite running back.
All right. And then Cousin Trey's always got a food question for you, Shane. 90s food here. right up our alley here. Fruit roll up or gusher?
Shit, guys, what is this? You bunch of cornbread hips out here. That's what's going on.
I like the gushers better.
I like the gushers, but the packs are never enough. You know, there's like six of them. Five of them are stuck together. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like one big gusher. but yeah, probably gave me cancer. But give me the gusher.
Oh, I don't even remember the second one. Surge, you remember that?
Yeah.
Or Crystal Pepsi. I don't think I ever had a Crystal Pepsi.
Shit, you're dating yourself, man. This is middle school for me. And you know, it's funny. They put this machine in my middle school, and I don't even think the teachers knew what the hell Surge was, but it was energy drink before. And you're giving these little, you know, 13, 14 year old kids just amped up. Yeah, basically methamphetamine. You know what I'm saying? I wore out the Surges. Crystal Pepsi was fun. I enjoyed the, you know, one or two of them or something like that because it was basically clear Pepsi. But the Surge was that got me through middle school.
Yeah.
Wildest 4 years of my life. 3 year program.
this one may be even tougher, Shane. Teddy Grahams or Dunkaroos?
Oh, this remember the Dunkaroos? Tough. Yeah, Dunkaroos would be the go-to here. The Teddy Grahams, even though I'm allergic to all this shit, was fun. I would eat them, but it was always like at that one kind of fancy parent's house. You know, like if I went to one of the rich relatives, that's kind of what was in their cabinets. They didn't want to give their kids too good of sweets. There was no Surge in the fridge. You can't have Surge and Teddy's. You know what I'm saying? Those didn't mesh.
All right, last one. Toaster strudel.
Yo.
Or s'more Pop Tart.
Oh, you bastards. What is it? Is my dad sending these? I will say this. I have had more s'mores Pop Tarts. In fact, it's my favorite Pop Tart.
Ooh.
But the toaster strudels was a total game changer when these things came out with the icing pack. Because you'd always go to. And you do light icing on the first one, and you double up on the second one because, you know what I'm saying? You made it the best freaking thing you've ever had. Give me a toaster strudel all day long, every day. And the older I get, the more I appreciate a strudel.
Mm. Maybe we can get them as a sponsor. You know what?
Come on, baby. Come on. Clip it. Tag them. Let them know. They're loved on this show.
All right, brother. Hey, that's all I got. Anything else?
No, man, that's shit. My diet just got wrecked because of these questions. So,
well, most of these foods I don't think are legally available to purchase anymore. You know what?
You got any more of them strudels in the back?
I mean, most of these foods, I don't see them at the grocery stores anymore. Do you?
Oh yeah, they exist. Toaster strudel. I see the Pop Tarts, the strudels, the Dunkaroos, Crystal Pepsi, Surge. I don't see any of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't see.
I think they took that off the market. It got
repackaged as Nutella, I think, you know. So actually, my kid, she's all about this Indian chocolate, whatever it's called. Dubai, is that what it's called? Something like that. Like it's the
I can tell you've mentioned this many times to me. I literally have no idea what you're talking about.
It's like a pistachio chocolate or something, and I've not had it. I would imagine it's good, but you know, that's kind of the thing. My kid was like crazy Nutella, and now they've kind of moved on to a fancier chocolate. Expensive. You know, the older they get, the more expensive they get. Her ass to Cracker Barrel will work.
When the fancy chocolate reaches your neck of the woods.
Yeah.
That's what I know. It's reached another stratosphere. You know what?
You know, speaking of chocolate, that was one of the biggest cons that ever happened was them sending middle school kids, grade school kids with candy bars home. Could you imagine back in the day giving my fat ass a box of 24 candies and saying, sell each one of these for $1 and bring us $24. Do you know every $24 I brought back, probably 18 of them were mine? They basically were stealing kids or stealing money from the kids.
Yeah, I think 18 was, I think you underestimated that number there.
Well, my mom, she'd give me like $2 for lunch because that would buy lunch in the day. And then I'd be sitting there and, you know, I'm like, Do I buy lunch or do I eat two of these candy bars? When in Rome.
All right, buddy. Hey, enjoy. I don't know exactly what the plan is for the next couple of days, but hopefully we'll be able to pop on for some of these games, reactions, and Elite Eight. And man, by the end of the weekend, we're going to know who's in the Final Four.
Yes, yes, it's getting to the end, but I do think these next 2 days are going to be awesome. So yeah, if it's a crazy game, look for us to jump on and talk about it. If not, I don't know when we'll see, and that's why the notifications are important. So turn those on. Thank you to whoever did the last subscription. You know who you are, 30,000. I appreciate you, cuz. And I look forward to some more action in the future here. So have those notifications on. We'll hit you when we go wild.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate you. We appreciate each and every one of you, especially you there, Cousin Shane. Thanks for showing up. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you guys. Go ball.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.